Good afternoon. Welcome to today's Early Career Principles webinar on time management for new administrators with Dr. Frank Buck. Frank is a veteran school administrator, public speaker, productivity coach, and author of Get Organized, Time Management for School Leaders.
Honor, thanks so much. And thanks for everybody who is here joining us live today and all of those who are watching the recording later. Every good thing that you do happens through the dimension of time. So if you can control your time, if you can make time a friend, then everything you do in your job and in your personal life gets easier. So in the hour that we have together today, I'm going to give you three very practical tools, tools that you could start implementing today that for me made a tremendous difference in my ability to be effective. One of those is going to get your desk clean. It's going to make all the paper go away and come back exactly when you want it. The second one is going to put everything you have to do in one place. And the third one is going to make you the master of documentation. So let's jump right in with working from a clean desk. You know, there are studies that have shown that the average professional spends 6 weeks a year looking for things, and a cluttered desk is part of it. Now, let me just ask you before I show you the tool, over in the chat section, if you'll just tell me, as you look around, what's on your desk right now? So, as you're typing some of that, you know, imagine if everything went away and it all came back exactly when you wanted it to. So let's see. We don't have anybody that's added.
Not
anything
yet. So please, okay. You may have to hover. There we go.
Okay. Yeah. Amy says, I got a calendar. I got papers. I got folders, discipline referrals, job fair resumes, lunch schedule, recess schedule, a printer, papers, referrals. It goes on and on and on and on. To give you this first tool, I got to take you back to when I was a young boy growing up in the late 1960s and hanging out at my dad's office on some of those hot summer days because his office was air conditioned. My dad was an attorney in a one-man shop. He was his own bookkeeper, his own secretary, his own everything. But I noticed on those hot summer days when I would spend that time at his office that the first thing he did when he got to work was he would open this one filing cabinet drawer, and inside were these folders that were just labeled 1, 2, 3, up through 31. So if it was the 15th day of the month, he pulled out folder number 15, and inside that folder were papers related to the people who were coming to see him that day. It's as if his whole day was in that one folder, and that intrigued me. And as those people would come to see him, he would write on their little packets of paper, and they would set a next appointment. And then at the end of the day, the person coming back on the 28th of the month, well, their packet of papers went in folder number 28. And the person coming back on the 2nd of the month, theirs went in folder number 2. And at the end of the day, my dad's desk was clean again. I thought he invented that system. And throughout my entire teaching career and administrative career, I used that. I learned years later, it was actually an old business tool called the Tickler File. So if any of you already use the Tickler File, if you just tell us about it, a little bit about it in the chat section over at the side. But very easy. The idea is that you've got 31 folders, one for each day of the month, and then 12 more folders. January, February, March. And so when paper comes your way that you need at some time in the future, you ask the question that you see on the screen. Drop it in the appropriate folder and you earn an important right, the right to forget about it. Let's show you the Tickler File in action. Let's say I'm a teacher in your school and I get this little memo in my box. Complete this form and bring it with you to the faculty meeting on Monday. So easy enough to just complete the form right now. Now, all I have to do is bring it with me on Monday. So how many times have you done something like this? I don't want to forget it, so I'm going to lay this right here on the corner of my desk where I don't forget about it. Well, invariably what happens is stuff starts to get stacked on top of it. Monday comes. This thing is 7 layers down, and you go off to the meeting totally forgetting about it. Or you tape it to the wall. Well, you go to the meeting and it's still taped to the wall, because one of those little rules of life is whatever gets taped to the wall just simply becomes part of the decor. Now with your tickler file, you just ask the question, when do I want to see this again? Monday. Drop it in Monday's folder and forget about it. The tickler file lets me do something called batching, an old time management technique that refers to doing a whole bunch of similar things together. My wife and I use this when we're sending birthday cards. Instead of writing people's birthdays on our calendar and looking ahead and making a trip to the card shop to get a birthday card for this person and a birthday card for that person and sitting down and looking up the one address and so forth, no, we make one trip. We have a list of all the people with their addresses and birthdays, as well as anniversaries that we want to send cards to. We actually mail merge it to address labels. So we just print out the labels on the sheets, take it to a card shop, buy for everybody, and then while we're watching a television program, put all the labels on all of the envelopes, put our little return address stickers on all of the envelopes, stuff the envelopes, and then where the postage stamp is going to go, we pencil in the date that that card needs to go in the mail to get there on time. And now I just take the whole stack and put them in the tickler file. Other things that you could use the tickler file for, you've ordered concert tickets. The tickets come, the concert's not for 3 weeks. What are you going to do with the tickets? Well, if you stick them in your purse or your wallet, that's why our purses and wallets are so overstuffed and we can't ever find anything in there. So when's the date of the concert? Throw the tickets in the tickler file for that date. And when the date of the concert comes, you've got your tickets. Repeating tasks. Now, we're going to show you a better way to handle repeating tasks in a few minutes, but one way to do it with the tickler file is anything that you have to do every year, every month, every week, write it on an index card, and at the bottom put when it needs to be done again. Throw the card in the tickler file. When it pops up, do the task, refile the card for when it needs to be done again. And one final one, in a workshop, a live workshop where we were talking about tickler files, a participant raised her hand and she said, I've been using tickler files for years and I want to share with you one of my favorite uses. And she went on to explain, she said, I always wanted to get better about thanking people for things, but I would never have a thank you note in front of me when I was thinking about somebody I wanted to thank. So she said, one January, I bought 52 blank note cards and matching envelopes, and I scattered them out through my tickler file so that about once a week, a blank note card and envelope would appear. That would be my trigger to stop and take a couple of minutes to write a thank you note to somebody about something. People started to think of her as a more thoughtful person. But you see, here's the thing. She had always been thoughtful. She was just forgetful. Now she had a system that allowed that thoughtfulness to show through. So if you want a good visual of what your tickler file would look like, let's say that today is October the 10th. So in the front of the drawer, and I use a hanging file drawer right there in my desk, and I definitely prefer hanging files over manila folders. Right up front is going to be the number 10 file, followed by 11, 12, all the way up through 31. Right behind that is the folder for the next month, where all year long I've been throwing things I wanted to see again in November. That's where all they're collecting. Behind that, 1 through 9 represents the first 9 days in November, and then a folder for each of the other months in the year. So I take out today's folder, I dump it on the desk, I put it behind all the other numbered folders where it now becomes the folder for November the 10th. And that's the way it works. So what you can see is anything happening over the next 31 days, I have a numbered folder to put it in. Anything happening more than 31 days from now, I have the monthly folder that I'm able to put it in. And so let's show you that this actually does work. This is a band director who heard what you have just heard. He went back, he set up his tickler files, and he was so proud of his desk afterwards, he sent me a picture of his desk. And then this is a friend of mine, Carrie Palmer. This picture was taken. He was principal of the middle school division in a very large private school. Now, Carrie's not in that position anymore. When they went to hire a headmaster, they did a nationwide search and found out that the guy they needed to hire was the guy right down the hall with the clean desk. So he was headmaster of a very prestigious school. But Carrie's no longer there. He's now dean at a university. And this is an elementary principal who went on to be curriculum coordinator in the same school system. And the thing that they all have in common is you don't see any paper on the desk because it's all in, everything for the future is in the Tickler file. And then here's one more. And this is a photograph that Carrie Palmer sent me of his boss. You know, you may say, sure, a band director probably has few enough papers that we could keep a clean desk. And, yeah, maybe even an elementary principal. But what about the chancellor of a university system? This is Jack Hawkins of Troy University, and he is famous for his clean desk. So that's the magic of the Tickler file. So what I want you to do right now over in the chat area, tell me about what's on your desk or around your desk right now that you could put in a Tickler file. All right. And as those are starting to come in, looking over here, comments, some observation notes. Okay, that I might need later to be able to go over with that teacher. Evaluations. I was in that classroom today. I'm going to be sitting down with that teacher tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. Notes for future meetings. Yeah, if notes that I'm going to need for that meeting on Friday, put it in Friday's file. I see a lot more with observations. So you start to get the idea. Any paperwork that you need sometime in the future, throw it in the Tickler file on the day you want it. It's going to be there for you. Oh, before we go on to the next topic, you know, we've covered this fairly quickly and given you some examples. If you'd like to go a little bit deeper, if you get on my mailing list after this webinar, if you'll go to my website, just frankbuck.org. So it's not .com, but .org. Click right below my picture to join my email list, and immediately what you'll get is an ebook. It's basically the first chapter of my book, Get Organized, Time Management for School Leaders, where we talk about the Tickler file and other paperwork type things. It's my free gift to you. Everything that you have to do in one place. And people always say to me, they say, Frank, I love the idea of the Tickler file. Do you have something for the digital things in your life? And the answer is yes. But to kind of preface this, three short polls we're going to throw at you. So where do you keep your contacts? So you can just answer very quickly. Is it going to be in a paper address book, a Rolodex, on your phone only, on your computer only, or your phone synced to your computer? So you're looking up an address, you're looking up a phone number, you're looking up an email address. Where are you looking for those things? So we'll close the poll in honor. Let's see what it says. Oh my gosh, nobody is using a paper address book. Nobody is using a Rolodex. 38% their phone only. Hope it doesn't crash. 10% the computer only. And of course that means if you get up from your computer, you've also gotten up from your address book. And most of us, that's where we need to be. Fantastic. All right, let's look at the next one. What about your calendar? So if you look at your calendar, are you looking at a big desk calendar? Are you looking at a paper planner? Are you looking at Google Calendar? Are you looking at Outlook? Or are you looking at something else? So go ahead and answer, and we'll close the poll in. And let's see what we have. A big desk calendar. Nobody. good, because it's tough to walk down the hall with that thing in your hand. A paper planner. You know, I'm surprised there aren't more with a paper planner, but that's okay. Google Calendar seems to be our winner, 2/3 of us. Outlook, about a fourth, and 5% something else. Okay, one more poll. We're going to ask you the same thing about your task list. So do you keep your to-dos in a paper planner, on sticky notes, in a digital calendar, so you keep your to-dos and your appointments all in the same calendar, a digital task list of some kind, a notes app, or in your head? All right, so you can go ahead and vote there on the screen, and we'll close the poll. And let's see what our results say. Okay, most of us are using a paper planner, a little over a fourth, for your to-dos. So our calendar seems to be digital, but our to-dos on paper. Sticky notes is another fourth of us, a digital calendar. Digital task list, 13%, notes app, 13%, and four of us in your head. Interesting. Interesting.
And Frank, there was a couple notes in the chat box that says, you should have let us combine Google and paper. And then all of the above, okay. Someone wrote.
Well, yeah, things are here and they're there. Yeah. You know, the 1980s and 90s, that was a great time to be organized, because if you had your little book, you were the picture of organization. My day timer and I were inseparable. In that little book was the place I needed to be, everything I needed to do, the contacts, the people in my life, in my address book in the back, the notes that I wanted to have from everywhere. And we didn't have email back then. And then email was the downfall. You know, when you get 3 emails a day, you can print them off and put them in your tickler file. When you get 103 a day, and that's probably where you are, if not more, no way. So I realized back in 2001, I had to do something differently because of the email. So I went digital. I bought a Palm. I synced it to Outlook. And suddenly, on those things, all of the things that I had in my little book, plus now I had email. And then now my life is here, all cloud-based. I use Google Calendar. I use Google Task. I use Google Contacts. I use Remember the Milk for my task, Evernote for the notes, the reference information that I want to have from everywhere, and Gmail checks all of my Gmail accounts. Now, I'm going to concentrate on the task list for the reason you just thought. When it comes to contacts, we're there. We are digital, and most of us are keeping our calendars digitally, but for the most part, we are not using a dedicated task app. I hope that after this webinar that you'll consider using one. I like Remember the Milk that you can get for free today at rememberthemilk.com. And what I'm going to show you is the 7 things to look for. Here's what it would look like on your screen, and then there's a mobile app. 7 things to look for in any digital task app. The first one is the ability to have a due date and sort by due date. You know, some people say, I keep my task on that little yellow legal pad looking thing in my iPhone. And that's fine for the grocery list for this afternoon. But what about the task to do 2 weeks from Tuesday, and the task for this coming July, and the task for this coming November? So when you have a digital task list and you're able to give everything a due date, it's just like the tickler file. For me, it's like having a digital tickler file. And when I'm able to sort it by due date, then suddenly here are my things for today, followed by my things for tomorrow, followed by my things for next week. Everything's in one place, and I'm able to search it. Now, if you say, well, Frank, I've got a number of things to do on any given day, and some of those things I can only do at school, some of those things I can only do at home, how do you sort of organize that list within the day a little better? So here's my answer. First of all, I want to identify, and I do this the night before, what are my Fab Five for the next day? If I only get five things done tomorrow, what are the five things that are either real looming deadlines or they're things that are really going to move the needle forward? So I want to have those right at the top of that today section. And then after that, I want to batch related items. What are some things that are going to kind of go well together? And so what I do is everything gets a due date, as I told you a few moments ago, but then everything also gets a priority. I use my priorities a little different from how they're intended. For me, high priority, that's my Fab Five. And then things I want to do sometime in the morning. I want to make that phone call to Bob this morning. It doesn't necessarily have to be made at 9:15 versus 9:20, just sometime that morning, medium. Things that would work well in the afternoon, low. Things for the evening at home, a priority of none. So here's everything for today, and it's segmented, my Fab Five, my morning, my afternoon, my evening. If I was a classroom teacher, my Fab Five would probably be the things that as soon as I get to school, I want to jump on. My medium things would probably be my things for my planning time, that next discretionary time that I have. The low priority, after school, while I'm still at school, and the none, things for the evening. And it could be remember the milk. It could be any number of different task apps. As long as it gives you that due date, it gives you that ability to do priority. Now, another thing, you want that list to be so attractive that you can't wait to jump in. This is not what you want to see on your list. Over in the chat section, could you tell me what is wrong with these things? Sure. They're noble. They're very noble. Solve world hunger would be noble. But what's wrong with the things that you hear that you see now? Okay, no date. Oh, I like that. Yes, Christina, they are huge tasks. In fact, yes, they are too big. In fact, they're not tasks at all. They're more like projects or goals. There would be many tasks that would accomplish those. So when you see something like that on your list, realize it's going to sit there for a long time. So break those things down so that it looks more like this. All along the same line that you got to break them down. So if I'm working on summer school, well, between classes or as kids are coming in the morning, I walk down the hall and ask Miss Smith if she wants to teach summer school. That's very doable. I can check it off. And it's working toward that larger goal of getting summer school going. If I want to go back to school and get my doctorate, well, today I could sit down and visit the website of that university and just research, when do they take a new cohort? What are the requirements to get into the program and that sort of thing? Here's what a list might look like. Segmented here's, say today, and you see the red and then the dark blue and the light blue and the gray where it's got the priority so that you've got your morning, your afternoon, and your evening. Second thing I want to have is repeating tasks. People often say, well, Frank, you like Google Calendar. Why don't you do Google Tasks? Well, Google Tasks still doesn't have the repeating task feature in it. You and I have so many things that we do every week, every month, every year. And if you truly captured them all, it would probably be several hundred. What are your chances of remembering all of them? And who wants to wake up in the middle of the night going, gosh, what have I forgotten? In the chat area, after this webinar is over and you're going back to just the regular things that you do at this time of year, what are some of the things that we'd find you doing that you would be doing every year about this time? So you can just go ahead and start typing some of those in the chat area. I know a lot of you are probably looking ahead to a spring awards day already. You may already be making some plans for summer school. Yes, yeah, I see new school year planning. High school graduation. Gathering tax information. Absolutely, because principals do more than the principalship. We've got faculty meetings for the spring that we're planning. We're planning summer school. And see, the thing about it is, next year, you're going to be doing these same tasks that relate to these projects. If you can capture those in one place, then you don't have to do all that rethinking every year. Now, I found in my own experience, a lot of the repeating tasks came from all these manuals that you've got all around your office, written by very well-intended people that said, everything you need to know is in this one manual. Everything about our board policy is in this one manual. Everything about special education, it's in this one manual. The problem is you've got a ton of manuals, and as the principal, you're saying, where's the one ball of wax that puts it all together for me and says, Frank, today, here's what you need to be doing across all these fronts? Well, there's not one. You have to put it together. You have all these manuals, and every snowflake in that avalanche pleads not guilty. Now, once you get all those repeating tasks on your list, and you've given them all a due date, and you've designated what's going to repeat every week, every month, every year at that time, you're going to love me, and you're going to hate me. You're going to love me because it's all there in one place. And you're going to hate me because that list, if you truly captured them all, is long. But ladies and gentlemen, could I remind you about one thing? You already had that list. It was just on sticky notes and written on your hand, and it was in your head and across all kind of legal pads. And now it's in one place. And now you start to realize some of the challenge of why you find it so tough to get it all done. And the reason I've chosen this photograph for this slide is this. You don't have to do it all. I guarantee you there are things that you're doing that another staff member could do, that a parent could do. There are things that some of your students could do. And if you don't believe me, go to the classroom of a master first grade teacher 5 minutes before buses roll. She says the magic word, and 20 kids scatter to all parts of the room. A couple of them are straightening the reading area. Somebody's changing the calendar for tomorrow. Somebody's watering the plants. Somebody else is feeding the classroom gerbil. And 2 minutes later, everybody's back in their seat, and the teacher's got a smile on her face because 20 jobs just got done that she doesn't have to do. When you get it all in front of you, you can start to make decisions about what you're going to do, what you're going to delegate to someone else, and what you're going to say no to. And if you want to take a screenshot of this one, go ahead. Every time I present in public, when we get to this screen, this is where all the cameras come out. I was invited back to the elementary school where I had been a first grader 50 years ago. As I walked down the hall of Crestmont Elementary, I saw this bulletin board where students were applying for jobs, jobs that adults otherwise would have had to do. They're giving the kids a stake in the program, and the kids are probably doing those jobs as well or better than the adults who had been doing them. That school gets it. And there are going to be things that you're just, no, that's okay, but we don't have time for that. It's got to go. Third thing I want to see, with a digital task list, you've got a place for the task and the due date and the priority, but then also a little note section. Some programs have it for free. Remember, the Milk does. There's a program called Todoist that's very popular, but the free version doesn't have this, and then there are other programs that don't have it at all. When you sit down to do a task, often there's information that you want to have in front of you. For example, I'm going to call Bob, and there are five things I want to talk to him about. Where do I list those five things? So the task is call Bob. I give it a date, and in that little notes section, I can list those five things. Another thing is links to things. When people think about having a digital tickler file, they immediately start thinking of, oh, let me create 31 little digital folders and I'll drag digital documents into them. No, leave the digital documents where they are, because regardless of where they are, they're going to have a link. So create the task, whatever it is. Do a draft of the XYZ report or update the XYZ report. Okay, there's your task. And then in the notes section, put a link, to where that document's found. So now there's the task. You click on the link. Boom, the document's open, and you're not having to make little copies of all kind of documents everywhere. This is what it might look like in Remember the Milk, and you'll notice that you've even got a little date and time stamp here. And so that if this was a phone call, I could list things in the notes section of what I wanted to talk to that parent about, for example. And if I called and I didn't get an answer and I left a message, I could even add another note as far as that I left a message, and it's going to be date and time stamped, so I've got a record of the attempts that I made. All right, now let's have kind of a little debate here. Some people like a paper calendar and to-do list. Others like digital. So for the next few seconds, let's talk about what would be the advantages of paper, having a paper calendar and a paper to-do list. So you can just kind of put those over in the notes section. And looking over, yes, someone said, yeah, Regina loved the bulletin board. Yes, lots of people do. Lots of people. Can be accessed immediately. So with paper, you don't have to boot up anything. If the electricity goes out, you have your paper, okay? Lori says it's a visual reminder. Mark says the paper gives you maybe a larger view, okay? All right. And let's flip the tables now. What about the advantages of having a digital calendar, a digital task list? And so, again, let's see. Travels with you. Yeah, very easy to take that phone. I can keep as much there as I can in 17 filing cabinets. Easy to read. No doctor's handwriting. I love that. It's with you all the time. It can be easily lost. And a lot of people would say, you know, here's the biggie for me. Some years ago when I'd asked that question, when we would talk about losing data, people would say, well, I like paper, because that way I won't have to worry about losing my data. Just imagine if you drop your paper planner in a mud puddle and you don't realize it and you walk off. Now, there's a data loss. And people are saying, well, hey, with my phone, if I lost my phone, I could get to my information from any computer in the world that had internet access. And I just get a new phone and I'm up and going, that my data is, you know, it's all backed up in the cloud. So let's see, whatever. My assistant can see things that change on there. Digital task list can easily be moved between days. Yes, if you didn't get something done one day, on a digital system, it automatically rolls over to the next. It's easily shared and searchable. And what I was kind of hoping somebody would say, and several, I think, actually did say that. The ability to search, for me, is one thing that makes a digital list so wonderful. So let's say here's my list. I've got someone in my life named Buford, a lot of things related to Buford, all with their own little due dates. But then when Buford comes walking in the door, how quickly could I put my hands on a list of everything I need to talk to Buford about? So if I just hit the little magnifying glass, type in Buford, the list shrinks only the things that I need to talk to Buford about. So, in a way, this is something that also lets you batch related items. Right after this webinar, I'm actually leaving for, my wife and I are going to Hawaii for a week. And so I'm going to be in an airport, probably with some downtime on my hands. Now, I'm going to have my phone with me so I could make phone calls if I knew what they were. So if I was real careful about when I put things on my list, if it's a phone call, I put the word call in there, call Bob, call Mary, call Sue. Then if I simply search for the word call, my list shrinks to all of the things that are phone calls, and I can be more productive. Another one I love is what I call ETR, expect, to receive. My shorthand, ETR. Think about how many books you've lost in your life because somebody borrowed them and you forgot who you loaned them to. So if you were to borrow books from me, I create a new task. I'd say ETR, your name, borrowed books. In the little notes section, I'd probably list the books and then give it a due date of when I wanted to be reminded that you had borrowed those books, maybe a month from now. So a month from now, it appears on my list. If you've returned the books, I check them off. If not, then that lets me know to kind of follow up with you. And the reason I put this in this screen right here is if I suddenly wanted to see a list of everything I'm waiting on from anybody, things that I've ordered from a company, things that teachers are supposed to be getting to me, books, lawnmowers, whatever it may be that other people have borrowed, if I search for ETR, shoop, my list shrinks to only those things that someone else owes me. Yeah, I know this is not a problem in your school, right? Someone comes in and says, I've got this one quick question. And then 5 minutes later, the same person's back with one more quick question for one reason. It was on their mind right then, and they wanted to transfer it from their camp to your camp before they forgot about it. But see, for me, forgetting is a good thing. If you'll teach them what we're learning here, if they have some kind of system, digital or paper, where as soon as it hits their brain, they can throw it in the system, then they can forget about it. And when you and that person get together, they search for their name, for your name, and there's everything they want to talk to you about. You search for their name, there's everything you want to talk to them about. And life gets so much easier. You know, this afternoon you'll go home, you'll open something like that, there'll be mail in there, and you'll take the mail out. You'll read the mail. Would any of you take that mail and put it back in your mailbox? I know I wouldn't. But that's about how 97 of the world handle their email inbox. We're going to show you how to get from in to empty every day. I want to have a digital task list that communicates with my email. Let me show you what I mean here. Let me ask you this question. How many of you? Okay, inbox is empty. You have 10 or less. You have around 50 emails, a screen full or so. You have around 100 emails in your inbox, or 500, or 1,000, or infinity and beyond. We'll close the poll in 5, 4. This should be interesting. 3, 2, 1. And let's see what it said. Okay, the majority of 30% of us have around 50. That's not bad. But look, about a fourth of us have so many, it's even hard to count. And nobody was with none. Two people had 10 or less. So this is Emily Speck. And she's smiling. You can see that she's holding her computer. And what she has open is her Gmail inbox, and it's empty. And you're probably saying, that's why Emily Speck is smiling. She was an assistant principal at New Albany Elementary School in New Albany, Mississippi. She's now moved on to a principalship. But there's more to the story than that. Earlier that morning, Emily Speck had 42,000 emails in her inbox. Now she's at zero. Now you know why she's smiling. Here's how to get there. All right, here's an email, typical email. It's inviting you to a party. So there's the date, there's the time. That's good information to hang on to, so most of us hang on to it in our email inbox. But this really needs to go on the calendar. Things that are in your email that are calendar stuff, let's put them on the calendar. So if you're using Gmail and a Google Calendar, click the three dots, say create event. Boom, Google Calendar does it for you. The title of the email becomes the title of the appointment, but you can change it. Here's the neat thing. The entire body of the email is in the description section, set a date, set a time, save it, and now it's on your calendar, and you can get rid of the email. If you're doing the same thing on Outlook, click and drag the email to the calendar button. It looks like it's created a new email, but it hasn't. It's created a new calendar appointment. The entire body of the email is in the little description section. Set yourself a date, time, save it. You can get rid of the email. It gets better. Here's a to-do, and you get probably got tons of emails sitting in your email inbox as a reminder of things to do. In this particular case, it's that we need to write a budget for this grant. And so what happens is we leave it sitting there, and day after day, it goes lower and lower and lower. And now it's on the seventh screen, and we got little sticky notes around the computer monitor reminding us of this thing. So starting today, when you have an email that's a reminder of something to do, you can do one of two things. One is do it right then and be done with it. The second one is put it on your task list. And here's how to do it. Either the digital task list, like Remember the Milk, are going to give you a special email address. And the significance of that is any email sent to that address is going to go on your list. So I just take mine. I made it a new contact and called it Remember Milk, pasted the address. So now I'm going to hit forward and forward this to Remember the Milk. I'm going to edit the subject, because whatever the subject of the email is going to be the name of the to-do. And then over on Remember the Milk, I have a task that says gather a $500,000 budget. And in the note section is the entire body of that email. And see, I can set a date for when I want to do that. If I don't do it that day, it rolls over to the next day. Here's another example. Anytime you order something, you get that that little confirmation email. Great thing to have, but you don't want it sitting in there day after day, week after week. I'd like to see that again in about 3 weeks from now when the stuff maybe hasn't come. So I'm going to hit forward. I'm going to change the subject line to read, expect to receive the order from the XYZ store. And then that little abbreviation, the little caret in Remember the Milk is, this is the due date. So 12/20, that's December 20th. And so I forward it. And it winds up not only on Remember the Milk, but for that particular day, and the entire body of the email is in the note section. If I'm doing this on Outlook, click and drag to the task button, and you get the same kind of thing. So now, but our email is still not empty because we've still got good reference information, but I don't want to leave it sitting in my email. So if I use Evernote, there's a little Evernote add-in for Gmail. So you can just go over in the right-hand corner, click the plus, and search for Evernote. It'll install it for you. So you just click the little elephant head that would be sitting over there, and just click save, and it's over in Evernote. If you have a paid Evernote account, Evernote gives you an email address that you just put in your contacts, where you can just forward anything into Evernote directly from your email, and you can delete the email. Maybe you don't use Evernote, maybe you use OneNote. There's the email address that you'll use to forward things to. Maybe you don't use OneNote. Maybe you use Google Drive. Go and grab the Chrome extension called Save to Google Drive. You'll have this sitting up in the upper right-hand corner. So anything that's an email, you just click that. It'll send it over into Google Drive. And maybe you don't have any of those. Maybe you just like to save it in the folder system in your computer. So you could hit print on the email, but instead of printing it to the printer, change the destination to PDF, print to PDF. Those are gone. But you still got thousands of emails, because it's all those emails that, gosh, what if I need this later? That's what archiving is all about. If I click archive on a message, it takes it out of that Gmail inbox, but I can always get to it by going to all mail and just search all mail. So if you're like Emily Speck with 42,000, here's what we did. We just said, Emily, let's go through the last couple of weeks of things that have come in and look for things that need to go on your calendar or your task list and just get those over there really quickly so that everything that's left is things that you want to save just in case. And now we're going to put a little check mark at the top. And then what happens is you'll see this message. Do you want this to happen with the 50 messages on this page or all these thousands? We'll click the link. Yeah, all these thousands. Click the little archive and go get a cup of coffee. It'll take a few minutes, but thousands of emails are now out of your inbox. If you're in Outlook, you've got the same kind of thing. You can archive. Click the first email, click hold the shift, click the last email, and it takes care of all of those. Number 7, synced across all devices. Yeah, you don't want to just have things only on your phone or only on your computer. And probably my favorite, let me just go ahead to the next slide, voice input. The ability to, if I'm typing in a task on my phone, instead of typing it, I can just hold down the little microphone and say things like, call Johnny's mother. And it goes on my list. Or call Johnny's mother on Friday. Or call Johnny's mother on Friday at 2 p.m. Remember, the milk is smart enough to not only put it on the list, but put it on there for that particular date or that particular time. A second gift that I have for you is on my email list, a couple of days after you get the ebook on the Tickler file, you're going to get an ebook that shows you how I set up and how I use Remember the Milk, just my gift to you. And then the third thing, this one will go quickly, documentation. I'm a digital person, but pencil and paper wins out when it comes to all those phone calls and one-on-one meetings. You know, we get those little pink pieces of paper and we write on the back as we're taking notes, but then where's the little pink piece of paper? A journal. And just where one day leaves off, the next day begins. As I'm on the phone, I'm taking notes. And anything that's not just a piece of information, but a to-do, I put a little checkbox beside it. So as soon as the phone call is over, the documentation's over. I'm not going to file this anywhere. And then at the end of the day, I just simply look at what I've written down, with one thing in mind, what do I need to do about what I've written down? Notice I've made two promises to this particular parent. I'm going to talk to the teacher. I'm going to call him back in 2 weeks. So I just go over to Remember the Milk. I create a task that says, call Mr. Smith. I give it a date. And in parentheses, I put the date we talked. So now it's 2 weeks later. I see this on my task list. I go, what's that all about? 1025 says, look here for more information. And now I'm back at the notes that I had taken a couple of weeks before. Easy, easy to do. And then so that I can look back even months later, at the end of every month, I put together a little table of contents. You can do it just in a Word document, where 1 month follows the next, this would just be one little snippet out of there, the month and the year, you've got the calendar dates, and just a key word or two about any entry in there. So you want to find something, you pull up that document, hit the find command, control F on Windows, type in a keyword, and it'll show you exactly what date you need to go back to. So we've got our desk, we've got everything in one place. We are the master of documentation. And after this webinar, one place to go, just frankbuck.org. Get on my email list, and we've got those gifts for you. You'll, my email list, I email my list like every Tuesday. I don't spam people. You can unsubscribe at any time that you want. Now, if you liked what you saw today, I'd love to see you in Louisville. I'm going to be presenting, and those are the times, and there's where you can go today and register for this conference. If you like Gmail, that's one of my favorite presentations. The one that you have just heard is basically the time management for school leaders, total control and peace of mind. Basically, that is what you just heard. And then brand new one, the digital overwhelm. And now, Honor, I think we've got some time for questions.
Awesome, Frank. So if you do have questions, please use your chat box and type those in. On your calendar there, please mark those dates. Sunday is going to be July 12th, mm-hmm. and then Monday's July 13th, and Tuesday's July 14th. We'd love to have you. Frank, thank you so much for all of this. How do you keep it all under control, though? I mean, you have so many different digital and paper.
Well, it's, you know, it's all in that one place, having that digital task list into which everything feeds. And so, you know, the list gets long sometimes, but it's just a matter of, you know, jumping in and, getting
well,
on
Scott,
it.
It looks like Scott has already done it. It says, I have already created an account for Remember the Milk.
Yay. You know, and everything that we talked about today, I mean, you can have that up and going. For some of you, it may be that you're going to run out and set up a particular file immediately. Others, it might be the Remember the Milk. For some people, it's like, gosh, the paper journal, all those phone calls in one place. I've got sticky notes and I've got little pink pieces of paper everywhere, and I feel like it's just going to all come crashing down one day. You know, the thing about it is when you've got a good system and you put it in the system and you work the system, things get easier. Life doesn't have to be as hard as we sometimes make it. You know, and every good thing that we do for the kids in our school, everything that we do for our own kids, every good thing that we do for our community, our church, our faculty, or ourselves, it all happens through the dimension of time. And if we can make time a friend, life gets so much easier. Let's see, it says, what does Remember the Milk offer that Outlook Tasks does not? One thing I found, the ability to enter things with your voice. Another thing is having that little special email address where you can forward things into your task list. Let's see.
Rachel, do you see, let's see, above there, you missed.
Oh, how do you manage papers that are handed to you? I have a stack on my desk. Yeah, in that first gift, you know, things are in your particular file for the future, but the things that you're going to be handling today, I talk about having an inbox, outbox, pending, and having that inbox out by my secretary. So any papers, my first year as a principal, I made the mistake. You know, people hand me papers, and I spent the whole day looking at whatever paper just got handed to me. I got smarter the next year, and there was that inbox. If it's paper for me, put it there, and then later in the day, I'll handle all of it at one time. Let's see. Regina says, kept a journal. It's a fabulous tool. What are your thoughts on five-year planners? Regina, I think what you mean there is where you're looking at a page and here you put what you did today and you can see what I did last year on that date, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago on that date. I am certainly not opposed to that. I think the people that use it most, it's sort of as a personal journal. My use for the journal was more of a keeping a record of the phone calls, so that when a parent calls that I can very quickly get back to the notes from 2 weeks ago that I never thought I would need again. All right, let's see. Before we go, I would love to put in a little shameless plug for myself while you're at my website, again, free content a lot of blog posts. I've been blogging since like 2005. So there's like 1500 posts. You can search for just about anything that you want to there. As you get into it, if you've liked what you've seen today, I tell people, if I haven't been to your school system, it's for one reason. Nobody's asked me. So we can change that. I also do one-on-one virtual coaching, which is very, it gives people an inexpensive way. I've also done some virtual things, you know, with entire faculties. So if expense to fly me to you is a little bit of an issue, you know, we could set up something like this. I mean, you've learned a lot today without me having, without me being in the same room. So definitely get on my email list. That way you'll know where I am, what I'm doing. You'll be able to keep up with me so that today doesn't have to be a one and done kind of event, that it can be the beginning of something that lasts as long as you want it to last.
Well, that's all the time we have. So thank you everyone for joining us. And thank you, Frank. We appreciate your comments.
Honor, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.